This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, the business station. This, of course, is Cruise Control, the car show here on BFM. My name is Rich Bradbury, and today, as usual, I'm joined in the studio by Daniel Fernandez from DSF.my. Say hello.
Happy New Year, everybody.
And then, of course, the man with the news, Mr. Ari Fruz.
Hello, everybody.
We have stuff lined up for you today. We've got a news segment coming up in just a couple of minutes. We have a car review coming up towards the end of the show. It's a Hyundai. Isn't it?
It is.
Hyundai.
Oh, Hyundai.
Depending Hyundai. On where you're from.
You know, you're from...
But what we do know.
You're from the people who started the English language.
So. Well, allegedly. It's the Tucson 1.6 Turbo. That's
yes,
all coming up in
yes,
a little
sir.
Bit. As usual, though, before we do anything else, we have the man with the news, Mr. Arif Ruse. Arif, talk to me about the exciting thing that is... petrol prices.
So you know, in these past couple of weeks, there have been lots of talk about the petrol prices. For now, the government compromised, and they've agreed to increase petrol station operators' margins by about 3 cents across the board. Actually, 15 cents per litre for petrol products and 10 cents per litre for diesel products. It was much needed, I think, because the last time this was reviewed was back in 2008, and you know, things have gone up in prices since then, just a little bit. So for now, prices have come down to about 190, something like that.
Daniel,
it doesn't matter because traders will never bring their prices down.
Mm-hmm.
When the prices of the petrol goes up, everything goes up.
Yes.
They say transportation costs, everything goes up, and then immediately when the price comes down, they just
stay quiet.
You know. So right. I just have this to say. I think bringing the price down is something that the new government has done just to make people a little bit happy,
right,
while they try and sort out all their promises, because it'll take time to sort out all these promises.
Yes, yes.
And this is just to make people happy. But in the long run, it's not going to solve any problems, because why? You're just taking a lot of money out of the government just to make some people happy who will end up just overfilling their tanks and driving up to Penang from KL just to have some kway teow, driving to Ipoh just to have some bean sprouts, when they can have it all in Klang Valley.
They can. Speaking of promises and a whole bunch of new stuff, there is 20 yes. million ringgit being earmarked for a new national car project. 20 million does not sound like a lot of money.
No.
I'm bored of this already.
I'm sure everybody is, but like you said, 20 million isn't actually a lot in this grand scheme of things, but I think what a lot of people are wondering is, you know, Lim Guan Eng has been saying for the whole past year that they're not going to spend money on the new national car. But then last week, Entrepreneur Development Minister Dato Sri Rizwan Yusof says the 20 million ringgit came from existing grants that have already been approved. And I'm going to quote something. He says, "I'm not developing the third national car project. I'm just facilitating to create an environment for the new national car project."
Who's his PR manager? He must have written the speech.
I know. It's a lot of flip-flopping, right?
Yes. I just want to say this, guys. You know, and you heard it first here on BFM. Instead of a third national car project, why don't they put this money into the first national electric motorcycle project?
Amen. I agree with that.
Replace all the Modena's engines with a little electric.
And 20 million is a good starter because it's easier to do.
Well, there'd be complaints because these things, they call them the silent killers, don't they?
Yeah.
You know, these motorcycles that have no sound. And
no, but in China, there are so many electric motorcycles running around. In Taiwan, you have so many electric scooters running around. Yeah. And they all seem to work well because they have little sound buzzers in it.
Yeah, true.
But what I'm saying is, you're never going to get rid of the motorcycles. And in fact, today, more and more people are using this, food couriers. So the motorcycle business is definitely going to get bigger. So why not have electric motorcycles? Give it to these people to use. Because if you look around, if you really sit in traffic, the biggest polluters now are coming from these small little mopeds and scooters and all, which are running 10, 15 years on those old engines and they're just smoking away.
Yep.
Speaking of which, leads us nicely onto our next piece of news regarding that smoking ban. You see that segue there? It's like we're professionals almost.
Yes.
There has been some suggestions, right?
Yep, some suggestions by some people online. You know, the whole smoking ban thing, you can't smoke indoors anymore. You have to stand 3 meters outside of the restaurant.
And we're fine with that.
Yes, we're very fine with that. But some people have been suggesting that perhaps cars shouldn't be left idling around that. What do you guys think of
that? Which is what they do in Europe. They don't allow idling cars.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, okay, let's take, for example, Bangsar, you know, and Jalan Telawi and all those restaurants that are around that area. You can't help but be an idling car most of the time next to a restaurant in that area.
True, okay, but if you're moving slowly, it's fine.
That's fine, right?
But people are idling the car because petrol is cheap.
Well, yeah, but okay. I don't remember the last time I sat in a restaurant, though, and looked out and saw an idling car there, you know?
Well, that just happened to me yesterday, though.
Oh, it did?
Yeah. Huge Velfire. Black tinted windows, of course, right?
Of course. Yes.
Parks in an X zone.
Okay, so for the smoking ban, for the most part, the restaurateurs will come out and say, you're not allowed to smoke here.
Yeah.
When it comes to an idling car sat outside, are they going to do the same thing, though? I don't imagine they would.
They can't.
They can't, but...
So who's going to enforce
should,
this?
Though.
Who's going to enforce this?
Exactly. You can't enforce this.
Right.
Because, like, outside schools, when I go and pick up my son from his school in the evenings, everybody's idling.
Yeah.
You know, even those with cheap cars and expensive cars, because petrol is cheap. I keep saying this, because petrol is cheap.
All right. And we're sticking with a smoking theme here.
Yes.
Slightly. Moving on. A Porsche that's made out of hemp.
Yes.
So Porsche released a new car, a new version, a new model of their new car, the Porsche 718 Cayman GT4 Club Sport. That's quite a big name. And it's featuring some apparently quite big technology as well. You know, everybody's going Google Gaga about carbon fiber and all that stuff, but they made panels made out of organic products like hemp and flax.
And what we used to make things out of like 200 years ago.
Yes.
Right.
That mysteriously disappeared.
Indeed.
So they've been saying like there are a lot of benefits to this. It's much easier to produce. It consumes 75% less energy, and it is naturally sourced. It still offers about the same weight and stiffness as carbon fiber, but Porsche still says that, you know, it's quite expensive. Maybe down the line in the future, people could start producing hemp fiber.
So first of all, you could grow your own material to make a car.
Your own car.
And then a couple of weeks ago, we spoke about
3D printing.
3D printing. See? It's all coming together.
Let's just make our own cars.
It's like I'm finishing your sentence.
There you go. See, I've been away a week and it's like I've never gone anywhere.
Exactly.
Right, we've got some car launches though. Local, what do we have?
Well, not so local.
Oh, nothing?
Yeah.
Fairly local.
Fairly local.
Across the bridge,
yes.
Alpine is finally coming to Singapore.
Right.
Is this the first shop in Asia?
First shop in Asia, and it's under Wern's Automotive. And, you know, a lot of people, when I posted it up, everybody said, oh, you know, is it coming to Malaysia and everything else? And who's the dealer and everything else? Well, in Singapore, it's under Wern's. And Wern's has an office here, and they do business here. So I'm thinking, automatically, it'll also come here.
Wern's runs Volkswagen, don't they?
Yes.
So technically, you could go up to a Volkswagen dealer here and say, hey, I have enough money to buy an Alpine.
Well, for now, I don't think they can do it because you have to apply for the AP and everything else.
Yeah,
and this is a very
specialist
sports car, which means you also have to talk to Alpine in France and say, am I allowed to sell this in Malaysia? I will extend the warranty and everything else. But, you know, this is such a specialist car. I don't think they will sell in large numbers.
Yeah.
But there'll be enough people who'll say, I just want one in my garage.
It looks very pretty.
Yep. It is.
I'll say
it
that.
Anyway,
it's very retro looking.
Mm. Yeah. The Alpine A110 is a Porsche Cayman Fighter and the Alfa Romeo 4C, right?
Yes, both you're right.
Have carbon tubs and you know, dual clutch transmissions.
Correct.
And I don't think they have air cons either.
Yeah, and they're very small engines. 1.8 liter four-cylinder turbocharged engine. It's a Renault-Nissan Alliance engine.
Yeah.
So it'll be easy to fix.
Yeah.
You can go to a Nissan showroom for servicing.
Yep. Also in the news this week, we saw that Geely teased their new small SUV coupe called the FY11.
Yes.
The designer himself said that they drew some inspiration from the BMW X6 and the GLC coupe or something like that.
Correct.
I think it looks pretty, but the inspirational cars aren't. So.
Well, you know, they have to start somewhere.
Yeah.
And my guess is, okay, this is, you know, Geely slowly coming into Malaysia and they're starting to bring all their new products. Give it another 2-3 years. This car will probably have handling by Lotus.
That's true.
You know, and then maybe a hybrid engine from Volvo. Because it's about the size of the XC40.
Mm.
So it's very easy for all this to be transferred across and, you know, played around. And then sold to Malaysians for about $100,000. Can you imagine?
I would snap that up in an instant. It's such a good... It looks like a good package.
Yes. If I'm the owner of a competing car brand, I would start thinking about closing shop.
This new FY11, by the way, goes against the CX-3 Mazda and the HR-V. So perhaps one day in the future, we could expect it to come here as a Proton.
I'm sure it'll come here before the end of the year. I'm very sure.
Oh.
You know, if you watch how Chinese do business in China, they're very quick to adapt, quick to adapt, quick to bring things out. They don't waste time. They don't wait 5-6 years in the life cycle. If I can do it tomorrow, I want it out tomorrow.
Yep.
You know, so I think they're going to be very quick because immediately it can go into the region.
Yeah.
Right hand drive.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's true.
Yes.
We are their right hand drive market now.
Correct, correct.
Also, we saw pictures of the Subaru WRX STI S209. It's just a lot of numbers.
S209.
Yep. So this limited run Subaru special is built every year, I think at the end of every WRX or Impreza lineup.
Right.
And it's most power, all the great suspension bits.
All the bells and whistles.
All the bells and whistles, yeah. So it's going to be quite exciting to see.
It'll be a very aggressive car and it'll be something to own.
Do we have a price for that?
No.
No.
But you know, cars like this, if you ask the price, you can't afford it.
You can't afford it, yeah, of course. Yeah, I've learned that very quickly. That's why I don't even ask how much of my V's anymore. All right, we're going to take a very short break. Don't go anywhere, though, because when we come back, of course, we do have a car review. It is the Hyundai, or what was it you called it?
Hyundai.
Hyundai. It is the 1.6-litre Tucson Turbo. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Cruise Control here on BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, the business station. This is Cruise Control, the car show here on BFM. My name is Rich Bradbury. As usual, I'm joined in the studio by Daniel Sherman Fernandez from DSF.my. Say hello.
Do you also want my IC number?
Because sure, that might be nice. And across the causeway, of course, I have Mr. Arif Ruse, the man with the news.
Hello.
In this studio, this desk is, of course, the causeway. Right. So if you're only just joining us, we had a bit of a news segment earlier on. We spoke about petrol prices, 20 million ringgit in funding for the new national car project. Smoking bans kind of related to idling cars outside of restaurants. A Porsche made out of hemp, and we had some car launches. Now we have a car review. It's all about Hyundai's turbocharged 1.6-litre Tucson. Daniel. Okay.
To start with, this is a new engine, 1.6 turbo. Hyundai before this had a lot of beautiful, normal aspirated engines, which were rather docile, I would say. You know, they're not into the performance market. They're into the, you know, basic, I deliver a car that drives from A to B, no issue, 5 years solid warranty from the factory and everything else. But now they said, you know, everybody else is going, you know, downsizing with turbocharging. I have to play the game. Even, you know, Geely is doing it with Proton. So they came out with a 1.6 turbocharged engine and they got a 7-speed dual clutch automatic gearbox. So which means you're going to have a much quicker shift and also smoother drive. So we took this car out for test drive. It's been out for a few weeks. We were one of the first few to drive it, which I thank Hyundai because I did not have to push them to give it to me. They just handed it to me. And I think the reason why they handed it to me is because with this car now, they are not experiencing the take-up, sales take-up as they thought, because the Proton X70 is a direct competitor at a lower price and a little bit more kit,
right?
Which is that Android device sitting on the center of the dashboard, which everyone talks about. So immediately, you've got a lot of people walking into Proton showrooms who used to walk into, say, Hyundai showrooms or Subaru showrooms or even Honda showrooms. So this has now spread the market a little bit. So they need to inform Malaysians about this car because nobody's really looking anywhere else when you're looking at this price segment because there's just so much hype about the Proton X70.
So we're doing a public service for Hyundai.
We're doing a public service.
Okay.
And we're hoping that this all goes back right off to South Korea.
Okay.
And they invite us over there. So we took the Tucson out. Now, it's got a new front end. It's got a new rear end. If you look at it very closely, it looks exactly like the Santa Fe, the bigger brother. But it's a smaller car. 5-seater, very nice, spacious interior. Now, in the past, the Tucson used to come with a lot of localized accessories. This time, Sime Darby, which is the local dealer, has decided, no, we'll bring the car in completely from Korea, assemble it in Inokom. So which means my seats, my electric conveniences, multifunction steering wheel, even my onboard entertainment unit is completely from Korea. So the latest entertainment unit is a 7-inch floating display that comes ready with Android Auto and Apple CarPlay. So you can, you know, you can pair your phone straight away and you can get all your things going. So you don't have to worry about navigation and making phone calls and everything else. It's all there. It just doesn't open your sunroof by saying, hi, Hyundai.
Oh, that'd be nice, sir.
Yes.
Okay.
And
something to work on for the next model, perhaps.
Yes. And the Tucson doesn't have a sunroof.
Even better.
So you have a 1.6-liter turbo engine. You've got electronic parking brake, electronic mirror, 8-way power driver seat, lumbar support. And in the center of the instrument cluster, you've got a 4.2-inch LCD screen that tells you all your relevant information just with your multifunction steering wheel. All this is fine. Fuel consumption, much better. Much better because it's a 1.6 engine. But this 1.6 engine, like I said, you know, Hyundai in their lineup were always rather docile performing vehicles because they wanted to deliver efficiency. But with this 1.6 turbo, it's actually quite exciting to drive. Mm. I actually found myself keeping it in sports mode and actually keeping the gears between second and third. You know, you keep it in that sweet spot where you can just accelerate and just go, go, go. And you're thinking, you know, who cares about fuel consumption? Because fuel in Malaysia is cheap.
It's cheap.
Yes.
It sounds like so far this engine has completely changed the dynamics of this car.
Yes, yes. And this is a two-wheel drive. So actually, you can get a little bit of a wheel spin in second and third gear if you're going around a little bit of a corner. You know, if you really want to push it, you can push it. And, you know, it's got, okay, it's got 177 brake horsepower, 265 Newton meters of torque. That's roughly the kind of power you get in a very basic hot hatch.
Yeah.
But now you get a full-size SUV. Now, the competition is very close in terms of power, okay? But the only problem is this is about 20,000 ringgit more. So this is the 143,888.
Right.
With the Hyundai, the badge and branding is already there. So the competition, which is the Proton X70, 20,000 cheaper, is that what you want to play with, you know? So you have to decide. If you think that what the X70 gives you in terms of all the little extra features is an important tool and you're willing to put the brand away, you will walk into a Proton showroom. But if you think, no, I want reliability, I want good after sales, I want a recognized manufacturer's warranty, I know when I buy a Hyundai, I can use it for 5 years, trouble-free, no headache. Because if you go online and check, there's no one complaining about Hyundais. They're after sales. They don't, I mean, there's a few here and there, but realistically, the cars don't break down, the cars don't give you problem, the interior doesn't go brittle, you know, rubber lining, everything stays firm. So 143 against 123, it's a tough call. But it depends on what you want at the end of the day. Because if you're going to use something for 5 years, think about it.
What about how would loyalty come into play in that question as well?
There's been a huge shift in loyalty towards Proton. And I think that's because...
Recently as well.
Yeah, recently. Yeah. And I think it's all because of Geely's involvement and Geely's involvement with Volvo. There is still a lot of people out there who thinks that the X70 is a Volvo. It's not, because this is a previous product from Geely. It's not a brand new product like we talked about earlier.
Yeah.
Now, the new products that are coming from Geely will have Volvo involvement. This involvement from Volvo is just design, a little bit of design tweaks. Theoretically, it's still a Geely car. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. But the misconception is, I think, at the sales point, there's still a lot of people going and saying, hey, you know, Geely owns Volvo. So you buy this car, you're buying a cheaper Volvo. Wrong to say that. Very wrong to say that. Because I walked into a showroom and the salesman tried to, not to say convince me, but tried to hint to me that, you know, you're getting like a Volvo for this price now. Which I think, okay, maybe he's hard sell, but you shouldn't be saying things like that. But if you take this car for a test drive tomorrow, if any one of you take it out for a test drive, if you take away the badges, you will actually think you're driving a European vehicle.
Honestly, I have to agree with that because the interior of this car is so functional.
Yes.
And it does look like a lot of quality. Soft touch materials everywhere. Your buttons and knobs feel very good.
Exactly. And Hyundai have never failed in cabin fit and finish and feel also.
Yeah.
And you know, if you go and look at a 5, 6, 7-year-old Hyundai today, the interior is not showing anywhere at all. Hardly anywhere, unless you're using it for Grab. But if it's a family-used vehicle, the car looks still very, very firm and solid. So they've promised, they've always kept their promise. The only problem now is there's a big competition coming in now, and this big competition is coming in at a very, very good price. So they're going to feel it. They're going to feel it.
All right, we should probably do an inspection, shouldn't we?
We should, we should.
8-point inspection. I'll take the first four. Arif, Mr. Ruse, you take the following four. So number one then, the important specs, the engine, the power, the segment, the price.
Now with the engine, it's really something that you should consider, because this 1.6 turbo really makes the game, really pushes the game up a bit.
So we've had its price, 143,000. Okay. Who are its competitors then?
Competitors will be the Subaru Forester, the Mazda CX-5, the Honda CR-V, and then, of course, you've got even, well, you know, a bit smaller, but the Toyota CHR, and then, of course, the Proton X70.
All right, and I'll ask you two questions back to back. What did you really like about it, and what were you not so keen on?
Okay, what I really liked was the revised interior look and feel and the NVH. This car, even at high speed, it's so quiet on the inside. I actually did a video of it. I'm sitting in the car in heavy traffic, motorcycles zipping and everything else, and you hardly hear anything. You know, even the aircon blower is not very noisy. So they've done a very good job with the insulation of this cabin. Mm. Now, what I did not like about it is the price, because I'm still thinking it's two-wheel drive. You know, it doesn't have a sunroof. I'm not saying the sunroof is important, but because the competition is throwing the sunroof in the game, all these little things persuades buyers to take the extra leap,
right?
You know?
Yeah.
So I think the price is a big issue, and at 143,000, it's going to be hard to convince anyone to pay that, you know, 10,000-15,000 premium. This is the issue.
What about running costs and warranties?
You know, if you go and Google Hyundai warranty, it's got one of the best warranties in the world. On top of that, it's won so many awards for its initial quality.
Yeah.
You know, in US, in UK, in Australia, in Japan, sorry, not Japan, in Korea. All their vehicles have always won awards for this. So I think after sales, warranty and quality assurance, no issue at all.
So why would you buy the turbo over the non-turbo or the diesel?
Because if you drive this, then suddenly you think,
I guess, yeah,
the non-turbo seems a little bit, it's nice, but you know, maybe if I'm buying it as a city vehicle,
yeah,
then fine, because the non-turbo is 20,000 cheaper. But you know, once you drive a turbo, you say, no, I'll pay that extra 20,000 if I want a Hyundai Tucson. Mm.
I guess it's a bit more adaptable to, you know, going long distances and all that stuff.
True, but you know, that pickup is really impressive, and the mid-range torque is something which you really want, you know, especially, you know, when you see the competition coming behind you and you just want to zoom ahead.
So you just now you mentioned that this car is a CBU that was basically assembled here.
Yes. No, what I mean is they've taken everything straight from Korea instead of adding local content like the, you know, the in-car entertainment unit and the wheels and everything else. They've tried to use as much of Korean influence in the cabin as possible.
So final question, this or a high-spec Proton X70?
Stuttering.
It's a tough choice, because I was thinking about it too. It really depends on your personal situation. Yes.
You see, I've got nothing against the X70, but I'm not ready to dive into the whole Proton, you know, ocean yet until I see what happens over the next 6 to 12 months.
I totally agree, though.
Yeah, why? Because I want to see, have they sorted out the after sales? Can they fix all this? No, nice little gadgets that's in the vehicle. I mean, that little Android, you know, Hello Proton and Hi Proton sounds great at you know, showroom level. But even Android phones hang once in a while.
Yeah. Yeah.
So sure. I'm a little worried about that. And I want to see how they handle the after sales. You can have a shiny new showroom. You can have some shiny new glass and furniture. And you can get new, you know, uniforms for your workers. But are they competent to sort the problems out?
And there you have it, ladies and gents. We've come to the end of the show, but of course, if you're only just joining us, you missed our news segment, but you can listen back via the podcast. We had a chat about petrol prices, funding for the national car, smoking bans, and a Porsche made of hemp. And then, of course, you've just missed a car review of the Hyundai.
Get it right.
Tucson 1.6 Turbo. Quick question. Does it have a sports version? This one?
No.
It does not?
No.
All right, just ask.
You wanted one?
Just curious. Okay. Just curious. Okay. Anyway, my name is Rich Bradbury. On behalf of this fella, what's his name?
Daniel Fernandez from DSF.my.
And the other one?
Arif Roos.
This, of course, has been Cruise Control, the car show here on BFM. We also have an Instagram page, don't we?
At BFM Cruise Control.
There you go. You are listening to Cruise Control on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.